Recently, Paul Travis, Senior News Editor at Information Week, and I met with Tom Buwaki, Worldwide Marketing VP at Fiber Channel Switch Vendor Brocade Communication Systems, Inc. We spent some time exploring a number of topics that are sure to be subjects of discussion at the Vendor's Analyst Day on Wednesday, including the new directions it's been heading in, exemplified in part by its Tapestry products. While its switching products remain core to its business, Brocade sees an opportunity to go beyond the nitty-gritty of building up SANs to helping customers address broader next-generation data center issues. The most recent step in building out that portfolio was its acquisition last week of NewView, Inc., the vendor of enterprise file data management software. We discussed everything from Brocade's evolving strategy, which includes a nascent services business, to its take on storage over IP. The quality of the audio is a little bit poor in parts, given that we were recording under circumstances that were not ideal. But we think you'll find this interesting enough to listen to regardless.
Just as background, I'm the VP of Marketing and Customer Service, so I kind of talk to customers on the way out, and then they talk to them on the way back when they need assistance and help. So kind of have this interesting schizophrenia in my daily job. Right? And I've been with Brocade about 3 years. I joined via an acquisition of Rhapsody Networks about 3 years ago, which was one of the first new technologies Brocade brought in-house in addition to their SAN products. I'll just tell you where we are right now as a company. We're about a $600 million company, a little over 1,200 people right now. Almost every one of the Fortune 1000 or Global 2000 or every account has a SAN. We continue to hold a little over 50% of the market share.
Now that's in what market? Or overall SANs? Or
switches. Switches, yeah. And in fact, there are three players in the market right now that are really of any consequence. Ourselves, kind of the forerunners and leaders, McData, who's been historically the number two player out of Boulder, Colorado. And then Cisco joined the fray about 24 months ago with their storage products as well. So the three of us are kind of in the mosh.
Where is EMC in this?
EMC is a customer of all of us. So EMC buys our product from us.
So they don't have their own switches.
No, they relabel it, and they call it their Connectrix product line, but it's our technology or Cisco's or McData's. And in fact, that's the one thing about this segment of the market. There are really only three major players, but we all go to market through the major storage OEMs. So IBM, HP, EMC, Hitachi, Dell, they all buy Brocade product. Three of them, the big guys, HP, EMC, and IBM, stick their name on it. All the rest leave Brocade on it. But that's our channel.
Right? So you don't sell direct?
We don't sell direct.
Users. Okay.
We have several hundred end user sales reps and SEs. But their job is to educate, evangelize, hold seminars, deliver best practices, and take the sale down to the one-yard line. And then the EMC guy or the HP guy typically takes the order because the customer's buying a bunch of storage frames, too, and a bunch of servers and doing consolidation. We're part of this whole solution. And that kind of led us into what can we do next, because we do have a lot of end-user contact. We just don't take orders with end-users. So one of the things that's happened is we have a survey with our install base every 3 or 4 months. And in fact, it was fairly dramatic about 6 months ago because we do the same questions every 3 or 4 months. It's kind of like, what are you doing next with your SAN? What are your next challenges? You know, the basic questions. And there's an amazing shift. It used to be, I need to make my SAN bigger, or I need to build a second SAN, or fairly straightforward stuff about increasing the size of your storage network. Now it's, my SANs are fine. I know how to grow them. I understand there's new technologies. That's great. But I have broader data center problems. What can you do for me in terms of helping me to manage my applications or servers or helping me achieve compliance? That's a huge thing now that's come back. Or I'm doing a consolidation and my infrastructure is very inflexible. I have different needs from my user community and I got to make it more flexible. So getting three or four things back that we never got before, and you know, we rationalize this, but I'll tell you what one of the reasons are, I think, and I'm not a 10-year SAN guy, so I can kind of maybe have a different perspective. SANs have been attached to storage. Right. That's kind of where they've been attached in the minds of people. But we're attached to like 100,000 storage devices worldwide. We're attached to over 2 million servers. This is just Brocade. We've never done anything for servers. But we have the same connection to them that we have to the storage, and we have access to all the information in the storage network that we can share with the servers, but we've never done any product or technology that actually benefits the server administrator or the application administrator. All the applications that run in the data center on a SAN, we are, in fact, the data path, which means that any server that requests information or any information that gets passed back to the server runs over our switching network. So we're right in the heart-lung function of the mission-critical applications. We've never done anything for applications either. So
I like that heart-lung function.
Well, it's a fairly critical component, right? And so what has happened is people are saying, we're building out our next-generation data centers, or we're evolving to our next-generation data centers. We have the connectivity to build this shared pool of storage. We've done this for the last 5 or 6 years or whatever. What else can you do for me now? And in fact, all of last year, we invested in, we hired like 4 of our customers from Wall Street. They brainstormed with us some new technologies. We did an acquisition. We did a technology investment with a company in New Jersey. And we built an entirely new product line that we call our Tapestry product line, which has nothing to do with SAN switches. It has to do with what can you do once you have a SAN in and around the data center that leverages that SAN infrastructure.
Would this be what old-fashioned folks would call systems management?
A little bit, but I would hesitate to call it that because it puts you in a bucket with some people that you don't,
that
want, to
you don't want to fight yeah. with, including so, some of your best
yeah,
customers.
Exactly. What it really is it'll hopefully the dots will connect a little better this year, but it's 3-point solutions that we introduced that give the customer who has a SAN the ability to do something that they couldn't do before or in a much easier way. I'm not here to give you a product kind of thing, but I could give you them as examples because I think it's an indication of where you're going to see us go this year and change the face of the company. Is that, do you want to do that?
Yeah, give us that. At least give us the three, the high points.
Yeah. Okay.
So we'll know the context in which
I'll describe without going geek on you and telling you the product, maybe the problems they're trying to solve. So the problem with the SAN is I need to centralize my storage. I can share the cost of that storage and the management of that storage across hundreds of servers or dozens of servers, and I get an easier platform from which to do backups or disaster recovery because it's all centralized now. I don't have to do it 100 times with 100 computers. That's kind of the promise of the SAN generation one. The three new things we've done, the first one is now that I have this shared pool of storage and I continue to buy more and more storage, I'm always doing data migrations. I'm always moving data from one device to another device. And that migration takes too much time. It's difficult to do if I'm going from EMC to HP or HP to IBM, or the tools are not seamless or heterogeneous in nature. And it's one of the weekend tasks where guys are up all night doing it because they don't want the downtime and it's unplanned and it's very hard to do, right? So we have an intelligent switching product and developed some software to allow for very easy to use data migration between heterogeneous storage devices. And it's real simple. There's no software to put on any servers, which other data migration products have. There's no software to put on any storage arrays, which other data migration products have. And it's purely heterogeneous. So we recognize you're an EMC guy, you're an HP guy. We do the proper translation without virtualizing anything, and we do the data migration.
It's built into the
switch.
Okay.
It's some software that runs on an intelligent switch. We call it our Tapestry Data Migration Manager. Excellent marketing, right? Describe what it does. And it's, $80,000, which is very, very competitive. And the big differentiators are it's very easy to use, it's heterogeneous, and probably the biggest thing for data center managers, it's deterministic, it's predictable. We'll tell you, like when you download a file from the internet, this will take 47 minutes and 12 seconds. It will take 47 minutes and 12 seconds into migration. And no other tool does that today. So it's a tool, it's not a systems management solution, but for anyone who has a SAN, who's continuing to buy lots of storage, and everybody is, who has a multi-vendor storage environment, which most people do, it's a Phillips screwdriver. It does one thing, it does nothing else.
When you say heterogeneous among the different storage options, but also recognizing that a lot of your customers also have systemic data switches in place, does
right.
it also account for those different switches?
Currently, it'll work with McData. Mm-hmm. We figured that part out, and then next is Cisco. We just haven't announced that yet.
Okay.
But it's a tool that does one thing very well, very quickly and very easily, and people will probably use it quite a bit. Now, we introduced it in November. We got a couple dozen customers. We have a few that can talk already. It's kind of nice. And they're pretty happy with it. So that's kind of one thing you can do now that you got the storage pool, right? It's straightforward. The second one...
Can I just back up one?
Yeah, sure.
Because you mentioned that you figured it out with McData, not with Cisco yet. Is that because there's not like a lot of cooperation among the switching vendors?
No, it's more of an install base thing. We figured out who has most of the install base,
okay.
and McData has been out there for 10
okay.
years, and Cisco just started. So
okay.
it's just a priority thing.
Okay.
It's not really technical.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one problem. A second problem we try to go after is the branch office problem, which is if I have a shared pool of storage and all my files at headquarters, and I can't access them very efficiently or quickly from a branch office, I will build a shadow IT department in my branch office. I'll buy a bunch of filers, I'll buy a bunch of servers, I'll have the assistant at the desk do backups at night. It becomes a proliferation of equipment in the branch offices and processes like backup that I don't want to do. Now I have multiple copies of the files everywhere, they're all in different versions, it's a pain in the neck. So we last June made it investment in a company called Tacit Networks out of New Jersey. And Tacit has a technology that allows for rapid file access between the branch and headquarters and allows you to essentially share files from the headquarters site without having to replicate them at your branch office. The segment is called WAFS, Wide Area File Services. I don't know if you've heard about it or not, but it's a fairly new segment, a fairly new solution.
And this allowed, how do you make it rapid?
It's a caching and WAN optimization solution.
Okay.
So it does some caching at the edge, and it does some WAN optimization to account for the lack of resiliency in the WAN, the latency in the LAN, basically. The result is the user at the branch office thinks they have the file locally, when in fact they're getting it from headquarters, and you don't have to replicate all those files. It saves you storage, and it allows you to maintain your centrally managed storage at the headquarters site. And it's a file-based thing. It's not a block-based thing. So we made a 10% investment in Tacit. We have distribution rights of their technology. We've done some things together to improve that technology. And it's been rolling out for about a quarter now, 4 months now. And we have some large customers, some who can speak. Typically what happens, they'll deploy in 2 to 6 branch offices, see how it goes, and then they'll roll out some more. People like 3M, Lloyd's Bank is one, Visa is another one, who are early customers of ours. So it's another way to solve a problem because you now have a shared pool of storage and you can share it. This one happens to be among your branch offices. So that's the second one. The only thing I'll point out about that from a product standpoint is there are other competitors out there. Cisco has a product in that category, others do. Ours is the only one that is based on Microsoft technology. It's Windows-based. So if you think about what people typically do at a branch office, it's email and it's Word and it's PowerPoint and all that kind of stuff. So our product integrates in with the file system of Microsoft, the security of Microsoft, and the management system of Microsoft. So we have an interesting differentiator there, at least for a while people try to get a Windows-based technology. And Microsoft happens to be our friend now, so that's good. It's always a good thing.
Wasn't that your friend before?
Well, they didn't know us before, but now we're promoting a Windows-based technology in the branch office, which is consistent with them, whereas Cisco is promoting a Linux-based technology in the branch office, which is not consistent with them. We'll take the partnership with Microsoft. Mm-hmm. Now, right? So that's a second area. A third one is probably, from my standpoint, the most interesting. We ran into a bunch of Microsoft guys last year who have left Microsoft and had an idea of what to do with the server side of the equation. We funded them as a startup. There were 9 guys in Redmond. We ended up, after they built the product, buying the company, spinning them in. It was called Therion Systems, was the name of the company. And they had an idea on how to help the server from a shared storage network. And their idea was, think of blades, server blades, which typically don't have a disk drive on them, or else the floor will melt. Something because of the power consumption. The problem is, how do I get the workload for that server, the operating system, the application, the database, everything that server needs to do to that server if it doesn't have a disk and it's a bunch of blades in a rack? Well, it's by definition going to be attached to a shared storage network because that's where it's good storage. The operating system resides in a volume in that storage. The application resides in some volumes in that storage. The data resides somewhere else in that storage. What we've done is, or these guys have done, is create a technology where we logically group via a nice user interface all the volumes you need to comprise a workload for the server, what we want it to do. And then we point that server or a set of servers to that object. We reboot the server, and when the server wakes up in 2 or 3 minutes from its reboot, it believes that object in the SAN is its C drive. So it runs the workload based upon what volumes we pointed it to. It's a huge improvement because what people have done in the past is they've tried to copy operating systems onto each server, which over a network which takes, hundreds of gig over the LAN or something, could be a really long time. And you got to do it for every server. This allows us to separate the computing device, the servers, from its workload. And if you think about it, you can then assign that workload to multiple servers if you need more horsepower. You can disassociate that object with that server and give that server another workload. And it creates a lot more flexibility in what you can do with your server farm. So this product's in beta. We've got about 12 customers in the U.S. that are trying it out now. They're pretty good brand name kind of guys. We'll probably formally announce it sometime late first half. It's our first product that actually helps the other side of the TAM.
So I think I understand conceptually what you're talking about. The benefits come how? Speed?
It's hours to provision a server to minutes to provision a server. So it's time. You know what it's like if you had to install an OS and all your applications on your home PC. It's not minutes. We're not copying all that information to a disk. We're just pointing the server to it and having it wake up knowing the volumes it needs to know, basically.
I think the biggest benefit is operational time savings. Uh-huh. There is an ancillary benefit of flexibility. If I want to run one application on that server from 9 to 5, and then from 6 to midnight I want to run a different application,
Exactly.
We're not there from a maturity standpoint in terms of the product can do it, but no customer is actually doing that in production yet. But these are three indicators of where Brocade is going. We've lumped them under a different product family name called Tapestry. Silkworm is our switching product line. We'll continue to innovate and do our best things there, but these things are more leveraging what we've created.
Now, why did you guys decide to go after the infrastructure stuff rather than the information lifecycle management approach that lots of the other people in your industry are going after?
That's a good question.
You're doing the hardware stuff. They're doing the data stuff, if you will.
In most cases, it's a lot of it has to do with your first question. Do you want to alienate your best customers? That's their thing, and they sell a lot more components of that than we do. We're trying to plug in the gaps there in certain areas and provide more of the infrastructure flexibility for them, right? But I don't think it makes sense for us to go compete with an EMC or an HP or IBM.
Okay.
I think it would cut off our air hose on our first product line. And we have to look for the spots, right, in order to walk that balance. I don't know if that's a good answer, but I think that's the real answer. That's the real answer.
Not picking fights with your biggest customers seems like a smart move to make.
So when you see any announcements under this Tapestry brand, that's our news for applications.
Yeah. Is that sold directly, or is that is also sold?
Same thing. We're going out. Our sales team is evangelizing it directly. And here's what typically happens when we introduce a new product. We go out and we unleash our sales force on our installed base of customers, our end-user customers. We go out and have seminars and do things like this. They get interested. They go to HP and IBM and EMC and say, "You have that yet?" And those guys will say, "I'm just testing it. I'll have it for you in a quarter."
Yeah.
So,
and then
it drives through them, right? So we have to create the demand. Mm-hmm. They're not going to go out on our behalf and create the demand. We have to do that.
It's a pull not a push kind of thing.
And they will provide the delivery and support infrastructure for it once it gets some demand. But we got to go out there and do the dirty work up front. As Michelle said, we have been for 10 years the Fiber Channel switching company. We're like Starbucks. We sell coffee, small, tall, venti, ground. It's the same product, though. For 10 years, we've done it. And now we're diversifying a little bit into other things you can sell around that particular product you've installed. Little challenge for us because, take this third product, for example, the benefit really accrues to the server administrator, not the storage guy. So we have to ask our buddy to get another guy in the room. It's a very different dynamic in our meetings because we're meeting people we haven't met before.
And in dealing with these big customers, do most of them have a storage administrator?
Absolutely.
I mean, someone whose job is storage.
Most of them have a storage administrator, and some even have a SAN administrator as a separate entity. But those guys they're really in the bowels, right? They're in the back room. They don't get out very often. And when data centers go down, it's typically something to do with the network or the storage network or something like that. So they're very risk averse and only rely on a couple of vendors, obviously, and the best technologies, and they don't like to take a lot of risks, production risks. So some of these new technologies you'll see us introducing will go into tests for a while and pilots for a while and so forth. And these guys will be initially somewhat loath to bring their colleagues in and introduce them to new technologies, but over time we're going to have to do those things. So that's going to be.
Now, if I may, let me ask you a couple of questions about the overall storage trends.
Sure.
Because, on one hand, it's more for less relentlessly. It's not a business I would want to be in. But the good news is there seems to be an insatiable appetite for storage.
How many copies do you need to keep of something? So some places, financial services, you need to keep 7 copies of stuff for 10 years or whatever the number is, right? The new regulations. They have to have an immediate copy, a separate backup copy, snapshot copies, archive copies. I don't even know them all, right? They have disaster recovery sites. Some have 2 disaster recovery sites. And now, emails are evidence now, right? So you've got to keep emails for how many. In healthcare, it's some number of years with HIPAA and financial services, some other number of years. There is no end. And what's the stat I saw the other day? 36 billion emails a day.
Yeah,
right?
That's how
and
many are.
That's consumer and home use and everything, but some significant portion of those have to be saved for like 7 years.
And even those that don't have to be saved
are saved
by
anyway.
Somebody
right,
somewhere,
right, right.
If only Google.
And the funniest thing I thought, someone was talking about this the other day, the consultant we had, he said, It's hard to save them, but it's really hard to delete them because where are all the copies? And how do you delete the same email from 7 places if they're in 3 continents and you don't even know where the stuff is? So it just mushrooms. You know, I think that's going to drive storage growth for a long time.
Well, it appears that your basic storage hardware has really become a commodity.
Right.
So where's the value and where's the profit? Is it in the software? Is it in more specialized hardware stuff like your switches and some of these other things? Is it the virtualization stuff, the life cycle management? I mean, where's the activity and where's the future in terms of you guys and others?
That's a good question. I think you hit most of the answers, actually. So the disk itself is a commodity. If you look at the gross margins people make on disks, it's, you know, teens or something like that. But if you look at EMC in aggregate, they make hundreds of millions of dollars of profit every quarter. If you look at us, we make 55 to 58% gross margins on our product. Not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. Right? We're a very profitable company. So I think a lot of it has to do not with what we call the spinning brown stuff, right, the disk. It has to do with how do I architect it, how do I put it together, what are the systems I have, what's the software I have to move it from one place to another. It's all that stuff once you have the big pool that really is the profit. EMC is a great example. They just did $1 billion of software this quarter. First time in their history. They were very proud of it, right? But think about who they were. They were the disk company for a long time. They did $2.7 billion for the quarter. $1 billion was software. All that software is helping people catalog, archive, move stuff around, keep track of it, et cetera, et cetera. Then they've got a professional services business, which is several hundred million more dollars of helping people who don't have the real depth and expertise in these storage systems to be on their staff or to be a consultant to them. The money's in the software, the intelligence, and the professional services. Now, you know, I don't want to tell EMC they don't have a good business on disk, right? They sell a lot of stuff.
Well, you have to sell the hardware to sell the software.
Yeah. Interesting side note. Here we are. We're a component supplier, right? We supplied these switches for years. Guess what we've been asked to do over the last 6 months? When we show up at a customer site that had a problem, the customer, in about 50 cases so far across the world, has said, hey, leave your guy here. We'll pay for him for next year. He'll be on our staff. So we have like 30 guys covering like 50 accounts worldwide, and this is a very fledgling business for us, who are on-site support and service engineers for our customers. These are big customers. Because you don't throw a stone out in the street and hit 10 sand geeks, right? There aren't that many around. And it's an expertise everybody needs.
I guess I would wonder if these 30 guys might be spending an awful lot of their day playing solitaire. It's not like there are that many problems every day with your stuff, is there?
But it's not the problems. It's the proactive management. It's we need to carve up more volumes for new users. We need to change this here. We need to add a 4-gig switch in. How do we architect it? There's stuff going on every day. What I tell people is no one's done with their SAN. Everybody's twiddling with their SAN every day. They're either adding security to it, or they're adding more ports to it, or they're carving up different disks over the SAN for different users or different applications. Everybody's got something
going on. So it's not like you set it up and then you sit back, you put your feet on the desk and wait for it.
They're there in case that happens, but every one of our largest SAN customers is building more SANs or is tweaking their SANs somehow.
And now those large thought that thinks IP is going to take over everything and be the universal transport medium, if they can end up making it work for TV and other things like that, you know, eventually it may be able to compete with fiber channel.
One of the things we tell people is that we believe in Ethernet for storage, so the cable itself is great, but the protocol running on that cable, which is IP, may not be appropriate given its characteristics for performance and reliability, right? So Ethernet, all over that. I think it's a great idea. But IP on Ethernet, or TCP IP in particular on Ethernet, is a protocol that has its strengths and weaknesses, and it may not be the thing that gets you there. Ethernet, probably a good thing. That's going to be everywhere. It's an interesting debate.
What about virtualization? I wondered how much that product that you have announced yet that you talked about plays into a storage virtualization strategy. And are people really doing storage virtualization?
They're just kicking the tires right now, to be fair, right? And the way we've participated in the virtualization game is that the same intelligent switch I was talking about before that we wrote this data migration tool on, we supply that. We don't write virtualization software, Brocade. This is one of those things, as Paul mentioned, we leave to our bigger customer buddies. So as an example, we supply that hardware product to EMC. They have written their Invista virtualization program, put it on top of our product, put the EMC logo on it, and they're selling it as Invista. They're going to roll it out this year. Now, you know, you can talk to them about the uptake on it. They're in beta, right? So it's not a pervasive thing. I think it's going to be another one of those things where for a year people kick it around and see what it does and see how it works. But after 5 years, it's starting to come to at least products that I've been talked about for quite some time.